We have our scripture reading this morning in your bulletins. It's very short and very impactful from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And why don't we read this all together? I'll give you a second to get it in front of you. These are words from Jesus who said, "Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets." All right, may God bless our understanding and our living of this word of abundant life. Amen. So many interesting things that happened to me last week that I experienced. I'm sharing a couple of them today. I'm actually saving one for Easter. I'm just going to begin with Thursday. Thursday is one of the biggest days in the Whitmore household. You may not know this, but it was our daughter Aaliyah's 30th birthday. She loves her birthdays. She usually plans about 9 months out. She was planning, I think, about 2 years out for her 30th birthday. We teased her and saying, this isn't your wedding, honey. This is just, it's a birthday. It's good. but she was a little less, she was just under 2 years old when we moved here. And then all of a sudden, like a blink of an eye, this little squeaky, easily enthusiastic, energetic, smiley, happy little girl, all of a sudden she became 30. And we had a wonderful birthday party for her Thursday night. And we are still throwing birthday parties for our kids. Every year we say, this is the last one. You're like 25 years old, you're 26 years old, you're 27 years old. Anyway, it's a wonderful thing. So Thursday, we drove to Norwalk because she wanted to have a lobster dinner, of course. So it was for our family and a few of her close friends. So Laura and I are driving along the way, and it's just the two of us, and we passed a cemetery. And it reminded me of a time. You think about these things with these life moments, So we drove past the cemetery. It reminded me of a time when she and the other kids were very young, and we were all in the car, we were driving, and we went past the cemetery. And one of the kids says, "What's that?" So we said, "Well, it's a cemetery." And they said, they were very young, they said, "What's a cemetery?" And we said, "Well, when somebody dies and their bodies aren't any good anymore and they're not using it, and because their spirit, they're in heaven, they take their bodies and they bury them. They put them in the ground there." There was quiet, right? Just imagine, you've never heard this before in your life, right? So sitting in the car, they're quiet, and they're thinking about this. And one of them said, "Where do the other people go?" And we said, "What other people?" And they said, "The ones who don't die." Quiet again, but now this time it's Laura and I who are quiet. And we look at each other. And we say, "Well, everyone dies sooner or later." There's another silence. And then at one point, one of them says, "Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean everyone? Like everyone? Everyone? Like you and like me? Like everyone?" And we said, "Well, yeah, but not, us. I mean, not for a long time. I mean, we hope." And this time, it was very quiet. And they just said it really quietly. They said, "Everyone?" So, you know, there are some pluses and there are some minuses being ministers' kids. And the kind of stuff that comes up, the kind of stuff that we get exposed to, that they're aware of probably, you know, more than other kids, and the stuff that Laura and I get exposed to. And we've talked about this with them many times. I was talking with somebody right before the service, talking about this type of thing with your kids. And kids don't really want to hear about it a lot of times. We talk a lot about what does it mean for our life that we have this brief, no matter how long it is, it's still brief, this brief, wonderful, sacred time here where one day you're two, and then you turn around and you're 30, and then 50, and 80. I was thinking about this. I mean, I was 36 years old when I came here. What does it mean in terms of what do we do with our time? What does it mean for all those things that we worry about that seem so important at the moment? What does it mean about how do we invest our time and our energy in the meantime, which is now? Now, personally for me, being aware of this, you know, having this very present awareness of life and death, it helps me a lot. And I actually love it. I love the very, very present awareness that I'm passing through. And this is great for now, but just never take a moment of life for granted. And that includes the young, innocent days of kids when they're 2 years old and being with them, and at 4 years old and 18 and 21 and even 30. And I never want to take a single day or a single person or relationship for granted. Because I'm hyper aware that when it's gone, it's gone. So it's all very sacred. Appreciate it while you've got it. So that hit me on Thursday with our little girl's birthday, 30th birthday, and just being really appreciative of this wonderful journey that we're on. And that does get kind of to the heart, to the meat of the issue, right? In terms of being awake and being fresh and being alive and being grateful. Not being jaded and just sleepwalking through life. There's a word that we don't use so much in our culture, which is reverent, to revere, to just really take it in and just kind of treat it as it is, as something so special. Reverence for life, reverence for relationships. To revere and to ask the right questions along the way, I think, helps. So that's another thing that happened this week on Thursday in a little bit of a different way, and it was through our men's and women's groups. Both groups, we focused on the same question. It really gets to the heart of things. And the question that we asked, and same question, both groups, is a great, great spiritual tool for you that can help shine a spotlight on what do you care about the most in this life? And therefore, what do you want to attend to? If you care about something the most, You want to attend to it. And if you do, you're not going to have this feeling so much that life is just passing you by. Conversely, if you're living your life in such a way as to address that question, what do I care about the most in some way, and you don't address it, you just feel like life is just kind of frittering away. And you may not even realize why. In any event, so a great question that helps to lift that up, that I would encourage each one of you to ask yourself, is what we asked in men's and women's group. And that is, if you're in a one-on-one situation, if you are able to be one-on-one, face-to-face with God, or with Christ, and you can ask two questions, anything you want to, and you know that they're going to be answered in truth, and you're going to be able to receive this in full understanding, and there's no rush. What do you ask? What do you really want to know? That kind of gets to, what do you care about the most? You're not just going to blow a question on something for the moment, something that you're curious about, you know, but something that you really wonder about the most. What do you ask? And that gets to what's really on your heart and soul. Now, if you have this question deep in your heart, again, but you do very little in your life to address it, that's a curious thing, isn't it? If there's something that you care that much about, but you don't pursue it, it might give you a feeling that you're not really valuing your life so much. You're not really valuing what's in your heart. So we asked this question to each group. Each person wrote a question or two down on paper, passed them all in. It was all anonymous. And we read some of those, and it's interesting. We each only got to like three questions because they're so big. And then we're going to continue this week. And just rich discussion. And it's interesting to hear, you know, what's on other people's hearts, right? Because a lot of times we don't really talk about, we don't get to that level, you know, at parties or at work or something. So it's really interesting to hear these things because I believe these aren't just things that are on their minds and hearts, but this is the stuff that you wonder about. So the first question, we just picked them at random, from men's group said, God, how can I use my life for the greatest purpose? Next, how and when will there be peace on earth? Next, how can we bring our country back to being undivided and under your sovereignty? Next, how can a person reach someone who is in deep depression? Next, why the Ukrainian situation? Why Putin, Hitler, Stalin, and other historical bad guys? And I'd put that parenthetically to say, and why are they almost always or always guys? Stuff that you think about. Next, are you proud of your creation? Next, is there a heaven? And when will God return again to earth? Is there another Messiah? Will there be peace on earth? Next, how much does one have to suffer for another person's happiness? And from the women's group, why is evil allowed to exist in the world? And how do I know your will for me in difficult situations? Dear God, please show me the way to be more effective with giving help to others. And next, plague, fire, violence, hate among so many, depression among so many. The all about me and not caring about others culture, is this the end of the world? Next, why do we have wars? And will we see loved ones again? And when will you teach us all to live in peace? Your questions to God. And why is there so much turmoil in the world? And how am I doing, God? Am I meeting your expectations? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? This is a sacred place to bring your deepest questions and your greatest joys. What struck me was how many of these questions are addressed by two related and very simple things, incredibly simple things that Jesus said in terms of, what are we doing here? What are we doing with our life, with our time, with our resources? And how do we make a meaningful difference in our life? All the way from global angst and violence to just how do you treat people in a grocery store? How do you treat people who work in the grocery store? How do I love my family? How do I create a happy life? I'm struck by how many of these things are addressed by just two very simple statements from Jesus where he said, one, the greatest commandment is this, love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many of these are addressed by that? And two, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. How much personal angst and global angst and issues are addressed in just those two little simple statements. Address why things are the way they are and what should we be doing about it? What can I do? What can I do? How do you live a life of a wonderful life of love and joy and kindness and peace and happiness in the midst of all this stuff, in the good times and in the difficult times? I think these two statements, simple and wonderfully challenging ways of life. Do to others whatever you would want them to do to you. From the greatest of the world's issues to How do I treat somebody who works in the grocery store? There was a journalist, novelist, and a poet who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was G.K. Chesterton. And he said, I love this, he said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It's that it's been largely left untried. So with our relatively brief but meaningful time that we have here on earth in our bodies, where, as Laura would say, you know, especially with young kids, the days are long and the years are short. You know, when time can just go racing along so quickly, the years, the decades, question, what can I do in the meantime to have a great life? To live with love, grace, meaning, purpose, make the world a better place, live fully, happily, taking a posture in the face of so much that confronts me. These two things. Do to others whatever you would want them to do to you, and love God, love your neighbor as yourself. With that, I'm just going to close with a piece of prose that is so well known that it's kind of become trite and cliche, but you know what? It's good. It's good. It just says it well. And it's been overused, but makes a good point about how to simplify all this down, and here it is. One day, an old man was walking along the beach. It was low tide, and the sand is littered with thousands of stranded starfish. The tide had left behind. The man began walking very carefully so as not to step on any of the beautiful creatures. And since the animals still seemed alive, he considered picking some of them up and putting them back in the water. He knew the starfish would die if left on the beach's dry sand, but he'd lived a long time. He'd seen a lot. And so he reasoned, you know, I can't possibly help them all, and what kind of a dent will it make if I just help a few? So he chose to just continue walking. Soon afterward, he came upon a small child who was headed in the other direction. And he was squatting down time after time, and he was picking up one starfish, and then the next, then the next, and he was throwing one at a time back into the ocean. The man stopped, said to the child, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm saving the starfish." The man said, "Why waste your time? There are so many. You can't save them all, and what does it matter?" And the child just picked up the next one, and he threw it into the water, and he said, "It matters to this one." What can I do when it comes to the big things? Ukraine, war, bad people. So we as a congregation asked that question a couple times in the last several weeks, and on two different occasions we had two special offerings of what can we do. We had one for refugees and we had one for medical supplies. And last week also Laura and Sherry Greer, who's the chairperson of our Board of Missions, delivered to a Polish church in Bridgeport a bunch of medical supplies that you bought. And they're going to be in a shipping container to Poland, where they have some connections, Polish church to Poland, to get it to the people in need. Some and not all. And it's because you asked and we asked and you dug in, raised $5,000. To an overwhelming humanitarian problem, to this very cosmic problem and theological problem of human suffering and evil. And we ask about it and we wonder why, but instead of just kind of wringing your hands, you reach down and you helped. And that's the way it's done. Time after time. Good use of life. Good use of this limited time that we have. Great way to live. Great way to live when things are rough and when things are absolutely beautiful. Same way. Do unto others whatever you would want them to do unto you. Apply that in a million different ways. Sometimes simpler is better. Amen.